You're listening to the Evangel Wichita podcast, recorded live each week at Evangel Assembly of God in Wichita, Kansas. Download each week for fresh, relevant messages from the preaching team. Open your minds. Here we go.
We started this whole year, talking about characteristics that I believe are so important to a church. And it's a message found in Acts chapter 2, so if you want to turn your Bibles, Acts chapter 2 is the text, and we have notes in the back. If you did not get an outline, you'd like one, the ushers have some, just lift your hand, and while we're getting started here, just lift your hand up if you didn't get one, and they will bring one to you right now. But Acts chapter 2 is where we are. There's some here in the front, they're coming. And I've decided that this is a message that we need to hear as a body of believers, as a church, as evangelism of God, at the beginning of each year. And you may look back and remember this from last year. I did it all in 1 week last year, but I thought this year would be better if we could split up and talk about these characteristics on multiple weeks so we can spend more time talking about each of these characteristics. But if you were here last year, then this is going to be a perfect refresher for you. This is not an accident. You need to hear these again. You need to be refreshed in these ideas. And if today is your first day with us, this is the perfect time to be with us because you're going to hear about who we are as a church, where we're going, what's important to us, and how we can make and how we diagnose if we're healthy or not. So this is a very important, because here's the thing. All of you in this room have a part to play in this. You have a part to play in deciding if we are going to be healthy or if we're going to be sick, because all these characteristics are ultimately, they start with you as an individual and move into our corporate body later. And you've heard the stories before, but a lot of times when people are looking for churches, they have a list of things and qualities that they want to find in the perfect church out there, right? They have a perfect church in their mind, and they have ideas and things that they want to find in the perfect church. And they also have a list for the pastor. We want a perfect church and a perfect pastor. And so they have these lists, and they go to church to church to church looking for the perfect church and the perfect pastor. The bad part about all that is there is no such thing as a perfect church, and there is no such thing as a perfect pastor. And I've explained this to you over the last couple of weeks, that there is no such thing as a perfect pastor. I can testify, because pastors are human beings, just like you. And none of us are perfect, are we? No human being that's here on earth is perfect. And pastors are just like you. We're not perfect. So then you go to the other side and say, well, why is there no such thing as a perfect church? Well, there's no such thing as a perfect church because the church is full of people who are human beings who aren't perfect. And so there is no such thing as a perfect church. There is no such thing as a perfect pastor. And I believe that instead of striving to find the perfect church, we should strive to be a biblically functioning community. A biblically functioning community. Instead of trying to be perfect, that's what we should do. Or we can change it around. That's too much. We can say, instead of biblically functioning community, because that's a big mouthful, we should strive to be a healthy church that fulfills the purposes we see in the Bible. That's what we want to do. Instead of being perfect, we want to be healthy. We want to be healthy. And it comes down to this. Whether the church is everything in your preference style or everything about what you want, that's usually not the question. That's not the important question to ask. The important question to ask is the church that I'm attending healthy? Health, health, health. That's the big question. And my dream and God's desire for his church right here at Evangel is that we would be a healthy church. We would be a healthy church. That we would fulfill the mission that we have to know God more, to love others as ourselves, and to share the hope of Christ with the world. That's our mission, right? That's who we want to be as a church. And I found that if we're not reminded of our mission, if we're not reminded of even these characteristics of being a healthy church, that's very easy to start straying off of your mission just a little bit at a time. And before long, you're like miles away from your mission and you had no idea. So I want to come back and look over these things over these first several weeks of the year and talk about what a healthy church looks like. What a healthy church looks like. And all of these qualities that we're talking about over these several weeks are found in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. That's where we're going to be. That's why that big passage of Scripture is at the top of your outline. Now, I know some of you have already noticed that it's numbered 7, 8, and 9. And some of you are wondering, why isn't it 1, 2, 3? We've already done 1 through 6. So if you've missed 1 through 6, I'm going to remind you in just a minute, but You can go to our website and you can listen to 1 through 6 and hear and catch up with them. So we're on 7, 8, and 9 today, and then we'll wrap up with them next year. So let's look. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, and let's look at this picture of how the early church became extremely healthy. You ready? Here we go. You can follow along on the screens or on your notes there or in your Bibles if you have them, all those types of things. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying, look at that, the favor of all the people. And the Lord, look what he did, added to their number daily those who were being saved. Daily, those who were being saved. So in this passage you see here, Acts 2, 42 through 47, we find 12 signs of a healthy church. We find 12 signs of a growing church. And if we want to stay healthy as a church here at Evangel, we should see these characteristics, these signs in our church. If you, as an individual, want to continue to be healthy in your walk with God, you will find these characteristics in your personal life. Let me review them really quick. The first one was this. A healthy church is a learning church. We need to be learning from the Word of God, not just on Wednesdays, not just on Sundays, but daily learning from the Word of God, learning daily from Scripture. Second, a healthy church is a loving church. We need to be intentional about growing through relationships and fellowship. It's important. You aren't designed to do all this by yourself. It's important. We work together. We work better together, right? People will know that we love Jesus by how we treat and love each other. It's that important. Third, a healthy church is a praying church. And here's the deal, and I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, if prayer to you is this boring, dull conversation thing that you recite the same things over and over again, you're missing out on what prayer is. Prayer is a dynamic, ongoing, intimate conversation with God, with the Creator of everything. He has provided a way for you to communicate directly with Him. That's amazing. So prayer should be this dynamic, ongoing, growing, this amazing conversation, intimate that you have with God. Last week we talked about three more. The fourth thing is a healthy church is a humble church. We realize that this is all about God. It's all about Jesus. We've talked about this. Ultimately, all the things that he does in this church and all the great things that happen here, it's about Jesus. Amen. It's about Jesus. Fifth, a healthy church is supernatural. That we see supernatural things. And we said, God does something above the natural. That's what supernatural is. You have the natural, which we can explain, and then we have the super on top of it. That's the God stuff that comes in, and when he does things that you cannot explain, the super on the natural. And the supernatural response from God comes from our collective hunger for more of it as a church. For more of it. So we collectively come together and say, you know what, I want to see the supernatural things of God happen in this church. People, I want to see the super on the natural. We come together, that's when the response happens. The sixth thing we talked about last week, a healthy church is a unified church. A unified church. It's we church, not me church. Okay, that's the big thing about unified church. All right, so let's look at the next three today. Number seven on your outline, a healthy church is generous. A healthy church is generous. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 45. He says this, selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. They gave to anyone who had need. So here's the thing. You may be confused about generosity, what generosity is, what it's all about. Generosity is not about how much you have, okay? Generosity is about what you do with what you have. Does that make sense? Generosity is not about if I make more money or if I get more things that I can give, then I can be generous. If I just get to this level, then I can be generous. Or if we have this much stuff, then I can be generous. It's not about how much you have. It's about what you do with what you have. Look at Proverbs 11:25, the writer here in Proverbs says this. He says, A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Paul writes in his letters to the younger minister Timothy and instructs him about being generous as well in 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting in verse 17. Let's look at this. We have these scriptures. He says, command those who are what? Okay, so he says, command those who are rich in this present world. Now, we've talked about this verse before here, and here's the deal. A lot of times, let's leave that up there. A lot of times when we read this scripture and he starts that, command those who are rich, a lot of us disqualify ourselves right there. Well, I'm not rich. Well, I'm definitely not rich. I know how much they make, and I know how much I can guess how much they make, and they're rich. I'm not rich. So that verse already, I don't have to listen to the rest of it because I am not rich. He's commanding those who are rich. But here's the deal. When Paul's writing that, it's about the rich. He's talking to you and he's talking to me, because when you look at your life and we compare ourselves to the world around us, we talk about what having one car puts you in the top 3% of the wealthiest people in the whole world. If you have two cars, you're in like the top 1% of wealthiest people in the whole world. Some of you have four cars, you know, just that statistic alone. Some of you have a garage that puts you in the top, you know, so compare it, you are rich. So this verse is talking to you. So let's keep going. With that in mind, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant. He's talking to us. We are rich. Not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope where? In God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Now here's the cool part. Now we know we're rich. What are we supposed to do as rich people? Let's keep reading. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be what? Generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. True life. Do you, this morning, want to take hold of the life that is truly life? Do you? Put your hope in God, who's going to provide everything for your enjoyment. And you'll begin to lay up treasures in heaven. It's amazing. It's not about how much I have to be generous. It's about what I do with what I have. This church, historically, has been incredibly generous. We have been incredible at being generous. Can I say it that way? And it's amazing to see, from where I sit, as a pastor, it's amazing to see over the years how when needs have come up, people step up and are generous. When needs are talked about, people step into those spots and say, I can help. I can be generous. I can help any way I can. You have been generous with your money, with your time, with your attention, with your love. In fact, I want to show you a quick testimony of how you've been generous this past year to a family in our church that you may recognize. Let's watch this video.
First Monday of October, I woke up that morning and was having some stomach pains. At first I was thinking, you know, maybe it could be a stomach virus, but it just kind of continued throughout the day and was not feeling the best. And the next day it was still causing me pain, and it was the pain was kind of localized into one area, and decided that it more than likely I should go in to see the doctor. So I got an appointment that afternoon, and the doctor checked me out and said, well, the pain is kind of in the area where your appendix would be, but the only way to rule it out would be to have a CT scan. Got everything set up, had the CT scan, discovered that, yes, it was my appendix, and the doctor said, you're going to have to go to the hospital tonight. So we had to get everything situated with the kids, someone to take care of them, and got to the hospital, and I ended up having my appendix taken out the next morning. I called the anesthesiologist, the doctor, the hospital, take care of those bills and see about setting up payments. I had hoped that the hospital might work with us, maybe even offer some financial assistance. We're a one-income family, so any amount of help that we could get is a blessing. And unfortunately, the hospital was not going to have that assistance available to us, other than if we were to make a lump sum payment, they would give a discount on that. Otherwise, we would just have to set up payments for the whole amount, which is what we ended up doing.
When she called, of course, you know, she was crying, and of course, you know, my brain is now, what can we do to fix this? You know, that's my typical thing is, you know, what's the next step? Obviously, we start praying, and I thought, what can we sell? You know, couldn't think of enough things to sell. So we talked it over and decided that just going to need to look for a part-time job at night. And, you know, we sat down and we talked with the kids, kind of told them that this is, you know, the severity of the situation, and that Dad was going to try to find a part-time job, which would mean that, you know, I was going to be gone a little longer. We'd been praying up to this point that God would just give me direction, provide, and come up on Friday morning prayer. So obviously I had a need, and I asked that the Lord would help direct me and open a door for a new job at night. And, you know, everybody was praying and went on with my day. Still praying and applying. We got a call from, or text from Mark asking if we were going to be at Bible study on Wednesday night. And afterwards he came up and said that some people, you know, in our need, had got together and had, you know, some money to give us. We actually waited till we got home before even opening up the card. We sat down, we opened it, and just, I was taken aback. You know, it was $1,000. Huge. I was overwhelmed. We both sat there, cried. You know, and after, you know, putting the numbers together between what our parents helped with and what that $1,000 did, we can tighten the belt and I don't have to get a part-time job. I cried for a couple days just every time I saw my kids. I made sure to sit down with the boys and we told them, and like explained to them how God has answered prayers, but he didn't even answer it the way I asked. I'm so humbled. I come home and my kids are, you know, excited to see me, and I'm just, sometimes I'm taken aback that I still get to spend time with my family, and it's because of the generosity of our church.
To receive $1,000 from people that we don't even know who did it, it's just, it's very humbling. And it's just awesome to see the power of God working through his people and helping in their own community, in that church. And just, it's very awesome. We're very, very grateful.
Very grateful.
Amen. And what's amazing about Garrett and Elizabeth there sharing that story, when Garrett first came to me about this need, and he came to me the first time and talked to me, it was all, Mark, would you pray with me that God would open the door for me to get this job? He came and said, would you pray that I can have, and he explained the whole situation and the whole need. Would you pray with me? I said, yeah, I'll definitely pray. I'll definitely pray for you. I'll pray that God opens the right door for a job. And then we had subsequent conversations after that. Never asked, can you help? It would just never cross his mind to ask me if we could help financially. He was all about, God's going to provide a way, and I just need you to pray. And he would come to Friday morning prayer, and he would pray. The men would pray for him about this situation. And your generosity in this church, some people came and asked, they asked the question after I found out from Garrett, is there someone that needs financial help in the church right now that I could help? And I was like, I just had a conversation with someone that needs. Now, I had no idea what the amount was. I had no idea what they needed. I didn't even know that this money would meet the need. But when I met him and I gave that stuff to Garrett and Elizabeth that night, they went home. He called me that night and said, that's exactly what we needed. That's almost to the dollar, I think he said, to what we need to make it through and not get it part-time. God is good. God answers prayer. You see, a healthy church is generous, guys. A healthy church is generous. A healthy church does stuff like that. Let's look at number eight. A healthy church not only is generous, but a healthy church is committed. A healthy church is committed. Don't take that the wrong way before we keep going, okay? Healthy church is committed. Acts 2:46, look what it says. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. You see, the early church here didn't just meet every Sunday. Didn't just meet every Sunday and every Wednesday. They met what? Every day, it says. They met every day. Do you think they ever got tired of each other? Do you think Sister So-and-so got on everyone's nerves every once in a while? I mean, I was just, how did small groups go? I mean, they're every day they're meeting. How'd they get childcare? I have no idea. Every day. But I'm looking at this church. It seems to me that the people in this early church were so in love with this message of Jesus, so in love with what happened with Jesus, and they had this incredible relationship with him that they just knew this was the right thing to do, that they came together, that they met together. That it was something natural, that when it's open, we're going. And when it's there, when church is out, we're there. It's just a natural thing because of my relationship, healthy relationship with Jesus, I am going to be there. And so the question comes, for myself, for you, here's the question we have to ask ourselves. What does your commitment level look like? If you're completely honest with yourself, and we're looking at this healthy church as a committed church, what does that level look like? Is it easy in your life for your commitment level to church to take a back seat when other things come up? And I'm sure they're great things. I'm sure they're important things. I'm sure they're vital things. I'm sure everything that pops up is incredibly vital. But what does your commitment level look like? I mean, here's the pushback I get often when we talk about this. Well, come on. Is it really that important for me to be at church, Mark? Really? Seriously? I get this from guys a lot, mostly guys. More than the ladies, but mostly guys come and say, really, is it that important? You already talked about, I have to read my Bible on my own. I have to pray on my own. I have to have that relationship with God on my own. So, you know, I can pray in my car when I'm driving to work or something like that. I can listen to Caleb for like 5 minutes, and then I can turn it off, and I can have a worship time. And, you know, I can do all these different things. Maybe I can even watch a sermon on TV. I can sleep in and watch a sermon on TV, you know, or even online. You got the internet thing now. So, you know, it's like, hey, we'll just watch it there. I can watch church that way very easily. But we're missing something. We're missing something. Look. Let me show you what the writer of Hebrews, how he describes the importance of fellow believers in Hebrews 10:23. It says this, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. This is how important it is. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. So, hey, we have a responsibility to each other. Now, watch this. What does he say? Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. We, on our bulletin, for years and years and years, we had this famous Psalm 122:1. King David writes these words about how he felt about the house of the Lord. He says, I rejoiced with those who said to me, let us go, right? Let us what? Go to the house of the Lord. There is something, look. There is something different that happens when we gather together corporately in this place. There is something that happens. Now, we share the one thing in common that is so, so very important, Jesus. When we pray together, look, you experienced that just a few moments ago. When we pray together, when we worship together, God speaks to our hearts. He does incredible things when you come together. But here's the other thing. You can come in and pray for someone else. You can encourage someone else when you come to church. That doesn't happen when you're just watching on the internet. We help each other. It's the whole we church, not me church. It's you are not meant to do life alone. It's our core values that are out there. That's why they're there. It's not just so we can have a cool church every Wednesday and Sunday. It's very important that when we gather together corporately as believers in Jesus, things happen. We heard the message where two or three are gathered together. There I am, right there. It's amazing things happen. Amazing things happen. So I want to challenge you as we start this new year. Here we are in 2017. Make a new commitment Make a new commitment to regular and faithful attendance here at Evangel. Make a regular, a faithful commitment. I'm going to be there. I know so-and-so gets sick. I understand. But make a commitment. You know what's going to happen? When you start making a commitment, especially you guys, it's going to challenge you. If you're a dad or a father in this room and you have a family that you're bringing to church, when you make that commitment as a dad, you're going to get every opportunity to skip once you make that commitment, because the enemy is going to try to get you to skip church, get you to stay away from here. Well, this came up. Well, that happened. We just won't go today, but we'll go next week. Make a commitment. And I'm telling you, dads, can I just challenge you if you're here? If you set that standard in your family will thank you for it later. You will not regret making a commitment to be at church, to be faithful attenders at church. I'm telling you what. You may drag your kids, especially when they're teenagers, kicking and screaming at some points, but you're like, you are going to church. What does that mean? You know, that's a big question. Like, what's regular and faithful attendance mean, Mark? Let me give you my example of what it means to me, and you can take it from here. You can take it from this level. When I was a kid, growing up, we never missed church. Now, some of you will say, well, you're a PK, that's not fair. Well, I'm giving you my standard for what regular and faithful attendance means. When I was a kid, we didn't miss church. We didn't, here's the truth. We didn't have to go to church. We got to go to church. My mama said every week, you don't have to go today, you get to go today. Is that not true? My mom's right there. She would tell, my sister and I got so tired of hearing that. Yeah, I know we don't have to go to church. We get to go to church. I get it. And I tell my kids the same things. You don't have to go to church. You get to go to church. Right? Every Sunday we were in Sunday school. We were in Sunday morning church. We were at Sunday night church. We were at Wednesday night church. Every week. It didn't matter. If I got sick, if I was too sick for church, my mom would say, okay, you're too sick for your TV. You're too sick for your video games. You're too sick for phone. You're too sick for anything. You can lay in bed and lay there. All right? There's no toys. When I was a little kid, there's no toys when you're sick. You're in bed. You're just laying there. And when you're a kid, now when you're a teenager, that's kind of cool sometimes. But when you're a kid, it wasn't so cool. I didn't like laying in my bed with the lights out, dark. That wasn't cool. Whatever I thought I wanted to do, I thought, oh, I could be sick and stay home, you know, my day off, Ferris Bueller. You know, I could stay home, but it didn't work. Because I found out when my mom came in and talked to me, God healed me very quickly, and I got out of bed. It was miraculous. We had the super in the natural in Coolidge when I was growing up on that street. Weekly, I was healed. Weekly. I didn't miss church. I got to go to church. You know what? As a parent now, as a parent of teenagers, I am so grateful that my parents set the standard that I was going to be in church whenever things happened. Now, look, I get the deal. Culture was different then, right? Oh, yeah, I get it. We, you know, things were different now. We have all these other, it's a priority. So as for me right now, I'm going to instill in my kids that church isn't just an option every week. It's something we do together as a family. We go to church together as a family. We're committed. We go. So you might as well have fun while you're there because you're going. You know, you might as well talk to your friends because you're going. You know, you look forward to it. It's going to be something. And you know what? When they get older, and they have families of their own, they're going to remember the same thing. And they're going to say, I'm so glad my parents made that standard. Being a youth pastor, I had so many opportunities over 10 years in talking to parents about their teenager. And, you know, my student's not making wise decisions, Mark. What can I do? They've kind of strayed off, and I just don't know what to do about this kid. And how can we help them? How can I help them make the right decisions about God? How can I help them make the right decisions in their life? That, you know, the questions for me, like, how can you fix my kid, basically? Mark, how can you help me with my kid? And so one of the first things I would do is I would look. I said, well, hold on a second. I would look and see how often their child came to my youth ministry. How often is your child even here? And I would ask the hard question of the parent, how often are you in church? I know that's so mean, right? That's so wrong. Why would you even say that? And a lot of times the parents look, well, you know, they have so-and-so on Wednesday, or they have this, or, you know, on Sundays we're doing this. First thing, make it a priority that you and your student are in church. and when you're in church, and when you've been coming to church faithfully, then let's talk about a plan. But you have to be committed. You have to be committed to this as a believer in Jesus. It's not just an hour and a half we spend every Sunday, I got to go do it, check off the box. It's something we just have to be here. This relationship, it's so important that I'm here. The question is, do you want to go deeper, right? Is this something you've heard yourself say, I want to go deeper? Why don't we go deeper? Why doesn't this go deeper? How often are you at church to go deeper? Maybe there's a couple classes that meet on Sunday morning at 9 a.m. you can get involved in. Maybe there's a life group you can get involved in. Have you tried one of those? And maybe this new Wednesday night thing, that's a whole other day. What? You want to go deeper? Come and spend time in prayer with us. Men and women prayer groups on Fridays. There's lots of things. A lot of times the answer is, I want to go deeper, but you know, I can only come at 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings to 11:30. That's all I got. I challenge you, though. As we go, this isn't to make you feel bad. I'm challenging you here. If you want to be healthy, healthy follower of Jesus, healthy church, challenge you to make it a priority to be here every week. That this is a non-negotiable. We're going to be at church. And you're going to find connection points. You're going to build relationships. It's going to be amazing. You see, a healthy church is generous. A healthy church is committed. Third, number 9. A healthy church is fun. Look at this. Acts 2:46. You say that last one wasn't very fun. But hey, a healthy church is fun. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Look what the Message translation says. It says, they followed a daily discipline of worship in the temple, followed by meals at home. Look, every meal was a celebration, exuberant and joyful. You see, when a healthy church gets together, it's supposed to be a celebration, exuberant and joyful, okay? That's the deal. Let me give you a secret. Are you ready? It's okay to have fun in church. It's okay to have fun in church. In fact, as a ministry staff, we have fun together during the weeks. If we don't, we would probably go crazy. But we want to have fun together. And you know what happens when the excitement comes? The excitement is contagious. Okay, let me do this. We're going to stop. Come on, Michael. We have a few minutes. I got time. You ready for this? We're going to go live on the Facebook. Okay. I think so. We're going to see how good Michael is with the Facebook. It really is called the Facebook, if you didn't know.
We're connecting.
We're connecting right now. Don't ever, you guys are going to get your own thing out and look. 3, 2, 1. All right, so. Hi, everyone that's not watching right now. You're going to watch this later because everyone should be here. Okay, but we are live on the Facebook right now, and we're talking about how fun churches. Oh, we're building an audience. Look at that. You're live. Hey, let's do this. Can I hold your phone?
Yeah. You want to flip it?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Let's show. We have an audience. It's right here. Okay, so everybody say hi to Facebook. Okay, that was weak. Everybody say it again. Hi, I'm over here. Wave. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Okay. I'm going to try again over here. This is live. You're going to watch this later and see yourself, okay? So you got to be... Chris, quit sending texts up here, okay? All right, here we go. Say live. Here we go. Hi, everybody. Come on, we're going, 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 going. Yay! All right. Now, we are live. Okay. Let's see this. Michael, it's you and me. They can look at our bald head, or my bald head.
Yeah, speak for yourself.
We are live here at church. If you missed today, we missed you. Mm-hmm. So be here next week. We're glad to see you. Look at all these people joining. They have smartphones. Wow. These are people in the church today.
Yeah. Hey, there's my wife.
Your wife just joined. Hey, Evangel Wichita just joined. How's that even possible? Hey, Peter, how you doing? Good to see you. He's over there somewhere. Okay. John, hey, Demorkio. Hey, wow.
This is fun.
We should do this every week.
I know.
This is fun. Why are we purple? Oh, good grief. Okay, so there you go. Hey, thanks for all. Look at all those little hearts going.
You're so popular.
They're busy doing this. Hey, Justin. Hi, Lori. Good to see you. Wow, we're popping everywhere. Look at that. What is that? What? Have you guys ever done this before? This is kind of cool.
It's like fireworks.
This is my most watched live video yet. It just told me. This is amazing. Sorry, you're still here. So is that David or Melissa? Which one?
I don't know. Never know.
Hey, there's Jamin. Hey, Jamin. We should probably keep going. All right.
Yeah.
Margie, hey, this is kind of, I like all the little bubbles popping up there. 10 people every. Oh, this is so cool. We are dorks, probably.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, my kids are like, stop doing that. Okay, but church is fun, right? Say bye, Facebook Live land. Bye. Watch this later. Okay, great. We just killed it. But church is fun, right? I mean, when you come together for church, it's supposed to be fun. We try to have fun as a pastoral staff. We try to get together. And here's what I've learned. That excitement is contagious, right? Effectiveness is fun and attractive. When you have these things happening and it's fun, it's contagious. You see, fun is not easy and laid back. It's like we see in the passage we just read. Fun and attractiveness is directly tied to effectiveness. And so we see here in Acts, what we see here is that other people were drawn to what was going on in the early church, that they were drawn to it. People were excited to experience this new life. Healthy churches have fun. And it's not this fun that's like selfish in nature, that I want to be selfish and have fun myself, right? But it's this fun where everyone understands their part in accomplishing the mission of the church. It's this kind of fun that's infectious. The kind of fun that even non-Christians notice, and even if they don't understand what's going on, they notice the fun that's happening. So look, this last week I meet with some different groups of guys. We're going through some discipleship stuff, and I was meeting with a group of guys who talked to me, and they said, you know, we love Evangel. This is our church. We love this place. This is exciting. We love being here. They're excited that this is their church. And I said to them that this passion, that passion you're talking about, this excitement that you have, is the best marketing tool we have. It's not about putting a new sign out. It's not about putting a big banner on the street. But that excitement that you have, that fun that you have at church, that love you have for your church, is our best marketing tool. The question I asked him is, how many times have you told your friends about this new restaurant you went to that was so amazing that you had to go to? And in fact, let's go together to that new restaurant because I wanted to share that restaurant experience with you. I mean, Chuck E. Cheese is amazing. You need to come with me to Chuck E. Cheese, right? Pizza's incredible. Not really. So anyway, I worked there. I can say that. So anyway, but how many times have you said, you know what? I went to this new, I talk about this all the time. I went to this new hairstylist, you know, and they do an amazing job. You need to come with me right here. Look what they do. It's amazing the work they do. They run. No, I'm just teasing. But you talk about, hey, this new personal trainer I had or whatever, the gym. You've talked about different places, the movie you love. Let's go see this movie. This is amazing. You got to see this. What you're excited about, you share with other people, and you take them with you, don't you? A lot of times you say, let's go together because I would experience that all over again. Right? Am I wrong? I mean, that's how we do it. So here's the deal. We have these. I talk about these all the time. We have these cards for you. You can be excited. If you're excited and have fun, you're just excited about Jesus, excited about being part of this church that's excited about Jesus, then you need to talk to people. You say, you just need to come and experience Jesus with me. And you know what? Let's go together. Let's go together. I thought I'd get a big amen on that one. Let's go together, right? Let's go to church together. I want to experience this with you. You see, a healthy church is fun. A healthy church is fun. That's who we are. That's who we are. So we have these cards out there. You can pick them up. You can use them. You can use them. Come with me. You don't want to miss this stuff. You can't miss. You can't miss. See, healthy church is generous. Healthy church is committed. A healthy church is fun. These are the characteristics that we're finding here in this scripture, Acts chapter 2. And we're building this. And we're seeing, what should we be measured on? How healthy are we? We want to be a healthy church that's generous, that's committed, and that's fun. And here's the deal. I say this every week, and I'm going to say it again today. The final challenge is this. There's one more characteristic of a healthy church. A healthy church is not only committed or not only continues in their ways, they excel in these healthy ways. They're not satisfied with where they are today in generosity or where they are today in their commitment level or where they are today in their fun level. They are excelling. They're saying, God, how can I grow even more? How can I move forward even more in these characteristics? How can I be better? How can I go stronger? How can I love deeper? That's the goal. The goal is to continually be growing. And here's the deal. this strong desire that I have in my heart to grow deeper in these characteristics is not so Mark looks like a better person. My striving for these goals is so that God would be glorified even more. That's why I do this. That is why I do this. That's why I want to be healthy as a follower of Jesus. And that's why I want Evangel to be a healthy church so that we can give glory to God. See, a healthy church is learning, loving, praying, humble, supernatural, unified, generous, committed, and fun. My goal is, how can we strive this year to grow a healthy church where people come, lives are changed, community grows, all for the glory of God. All for the glory of God. That's my prayer for our church this year.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. For more great teaching, check us out on the web at evangelwichita.org or connect with us at facebook.com/evangelwichita.